Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 1 December 2020. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We have got a guest coming on tonight. Had him on a month or better ago with Gregory Ford. We're going to tell you about him in a minute. I just finished reading the book here a week or so ago, Midnight in Samaria. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. And I very seldom ever actually sit down and read a book as thoroughly as I did this one. It caught my attention. We'll explain it in a few minutes. Now, don't forget, we're going to have church this coming weekend. Bible study, Lord willing, the weather permits. It's nasty here right now. I'm going to call maybe for some nasty weather this weekend. If I do, then I can't drive 2 hours across a mountain to get there, obviously, in the snow. Other folks drive down from Ohio 4 or 5 hours, so we may not make this Saturday, but we're going to try. We're going to try to make it this coming Saturday. I'll let you know if I can at all tomorrow night what's going on, if at all possible. If not, you call me in the office here Thursday, and I'll give the answer for sure. But anyway, if you want to join us at a Bible study starting at 10:30 a.m. Saturday morning, Eastern Time, you can go to our website, pastorbutch.com, and click on Live. You'll find it there live, obviously. You'll see a number on the screen. If you want to call and share testimonies or prayer requests or take part in the Bible study or current events, you can also do that. If you don't have a computer and want to listen on the phone, we have a phone number now that's working right now. Now, folks, these phone numbers change sometimes, and we don't change them. They just change. But this number right now does work. You can call this number on your phone. It's 641-741-2866. That's 641-741-2866 to listen to the teachings coming Saturday morning if we can get together to have Bible study, okay? And don't forget, we're offering the steal for a while. The folks just go on to the end of the year and then it's over. A 2-for-1 for REM sleep or tranquil. You can buy two of each one, just get one of each, or two of REM sleeper, two of tranquil, your choice. But $28.95, the regular price for one of them is $25.95. So if you're going to stock up, now it's time to get it. And I hope you'll do it quickly before they're all gone, because when they're gone, folks, I'm sorry, REM sleeper is already running out of stock about everywhere. It's just the way it is, that they have to get some more made. I know we have one listener named Emmanuel, doesn't believe me when I tell you we're out of stock of REM sleeper, but we are. She'll be in here hopefully tomorrow, so we can get what we have ordered shipped out this coming Thursday. If you want a bottle, two bottles, mix or match, $28.95, you call us at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. We'd love to send them to you if at all possible, because we want you to have them for future use. I know that you're going to want to have it because, folks, it's important that you get some rest. And believe me, stressful times are, no, they're not coming, they're here. Even I, as a pastor, have been preaching over 40 years. Been born again since the last Wednesday night in June 1971. And there are days I have stressful days. I really do. I have to sit down and meditate and pray my way through it. Because I'm only a man. David had up and down days. So did Paul. So did all the rest of the men in the Scripture. Because they're just people. We're also offering a 23-page report. Now, if you have a computer, you can find some of these on your own if you like to. But if you don't, we're offering a 23-page report from Dr. Judy Mikovits and other experts on the vaccines and how they're worse than we even thought they were. I'm warning you folks, I'll share this tomorrow night on the radio broadcast and in church coming Saturday, Lord willing, that the shots are becoming mandatory. Oh, now I take it back. In the UK, you don't have to take one. But you can't go into restaurants or a bar or a sporting event unless you can show that you've been vaccinated. It's coming to America real soon. You mark my words, in the very near future, you're going to have to show proof of vaccine across state lines. Already it's almost a way to fly. Folks, I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast, but if you can't buy, sell, or trade without it, it's awful close to it. Off close to it. 23-page reports for $5. I just have to pay for the paper, the envelope, and the postage. 23 pages for $5 delivered to your door because I want you to have. Make copies of it. Share it with your friends. Please do not waste time in making copies if you can afford to do so. And give it to your friends and family. At least give them a chance to know the truth. They may ignore it. They may laugh at you. They may scoff at you. They may tell you you're crazy. They may call you a conspiracy nut or whatever you want to call you. But they deserve a chance to see the truth before it's too late for them. Oh, my goodness, folks. We are heading down a very, very rough road ahead. And I do encourage you that if you don't know who Christ is as your personal Savior, if you've not been redeemed, if you've not been converted, if you've not been born again, I would urge you to do so very quickly because we haven't seen anything yet. Unless your anchor is in something more solid than your hope in this world or in your money or in your family, this is something more solid than all those. You're not going to make it. I'm telling you the truth because I care. But I'm going to go to our guest. Our guest is named Gregory Ford. He and a lady named Eleanor Cooney wrote a book entitled Midnight in Samara. It's a true story of WMDs, greed, and high crimes in Iraq. Mr. Ford was an intelligence agent in Iraq the early part of 2003, you know, right only about the middle of that year. And the things he saw with his own eyes, a witness, and has testified to, and is still trying to get before the Supreme Court of this country to show war crimes of the highest kind and treason of the highest kind, is still ongoing. He's paid a price for it, a big price for it. His health has been damaged because he was kidnapped and drugged and almost killed when they took him out of Iraq without anybody even knowing it, kidnapped him, tied him to gurney, and shipped him home on a plane, drugged him up while he done it. These are the things that actually happened to this man, Gregory Ford. We're going to discuss this somewhat tonight and get in some detail on what he saw in Iraq. Now, let me qualify that with this. I was in Vietnam, Cameron Bay, and I was in Thailand. I was in Laos during the Vietnam War. I was not a grunt, so to speak, out in the jungles all the time. I was stationed out in the jungles on some sites, but never actually in combat. There's a lot of them were. But I do know a lot of things are going on behind the scenes that we weren't supposed to know, or they didn't care if we knew. Like Korean dog soldiers who were paid bounties for bringing in ears of the VC. They had a saying going on, ears for beers. When I come home, I told people that. No one believed me. It was my wife, Marsha Jean. The rest of them thought I was making it up or just told something to be, but somebody else's lie. And of course, some years ago, it was on the History Channel, Ears for Beers. Villages were burnt. Civilians were killed. Sometimes shot from a Huey with a machine gun for sport while they're in the rice paddies. Yeah, folks, I'm telling you the truth. Now, I was as naive as anybody else. America was good guys. I didn't care what happened. We were the good guys. I was still so naive in there that when I knew they were shipping heroin back to the U.S. in body bags on C-130s, I thought, well, the good guys doing it, there's got to be a reason for it. That's how naive I was at 19 years old. Why do you think they take you at 19 years old? Know what I know about Vietnam, which is not a lot compared to a lot of people. when I read this book, it kind of shocked me, but not really, because I realized how corrupt and crooked and low down dirty our elite are in the military and in the money powers, and the president right on down. So I wasn't totally shocked by a lot of it, but some of it made me very angry, because we go there, we wonder why they hate us. That's a nice program. You may understand more the reason why we're hated by the Middle Easterners, and justifiably so. You can get mad if you want to. I'm telling you the truth. Gregory Ford, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's always good to be on your show, Pastor. So
good to have you, sir. Good to have you.
You know, yes, thank you. And it's gratifying to hear that you really actually read the book, okay? You know how most people are. Oh, yeah, I read the book, and they might have read two or three pages and put it down. But it sounds like you went cover to cover.
I did go cover to cover, and the reason I did it, because I understood part of it as far as what's happening, not because I was in Iraq, but because I saw some of the same things in Nam, and you wrote it in such a way that it made you feel like you were actually on scene with you, and it made it very interesting. But so you just very quickly, give us a synopsis before we start in what we're talking about. Tell the people, for the new listeners, who Gregory Ford is.
Let me see. Now, I want everybody to know that I do have some problems with my speech, okay? I stumble and struggle with my speech because this time last year I was in a coma. I was in a hospital bed, and when I came to, I'd lapsed into a coma because of the torture that I had to endure when I left Iraq, okay? And so
Kidnapped from Iraq. Kidnapped.
Yeah, they call it rendition, yes. Which is a nice word for saying kidnapped. Okay, right. And so, I was renditioned or kidnapped or and tortured to make a statement out of it. And when I say torture, I don't know if the folks in West Virginia are familiar. By the way, the folks in West Virginia are some of my favorite. All right, and that was from an experience I had when I had to go back for a wonderful conference back there. Just about the time I got back from Iraq, I was invited to a conference there on a beautiful farm. Near Charleston? Yeah, Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, Charleston capital.
I have an exceptional place in my heart for folks from West Virginia, but to make a long story short, let me see. I was actually, how do I put it? After the debacle, the horrible story of Abu Ghraib broke. Okay, the Abu Ghraib prison, and that. Anybody can go to a computer and just type the word in Abu, A-B-U, and then Grabe, G-H-R-A-I-B. And you'll see some of the most horrifying pictures of man's inhumanity to his fellow man. And the reason why that was so personal to me is that when I was there, I was an intelligence officer. They're assigned, and by the way, it was my last assignment. I was slated to be retired. I tried to be retired before I had to go to Iraq, but as it turns out, they said no, Dr. Ford. It goes something like this: is you have the qualifications that we need, and so you're going to Iraq. You can retire all you want after Iraq, but you're going to Iraq right now because you're one of five people that we have that is qualified in your intelligence specialty, which was counterintelligence. So,
and by the way, I don't want to interrupt you through a lot of this, but a question I want to get out before the people very quickly. Very quickly, summarize what you were told in a Quonset hut before 9/11 happened. Just take about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and tell them what you were told about 9/11 before it happened.
Okay, great. Let me say, before I had to train up, I had to, get trained, and because, like I said, intelligence is a very fine science, okay? Everybody thinks it's like James Bond. It's something you're born with, right? Well, no. I had to go to a post, a military post in Arizona. And for all you folks that have seen Tombstone, the Great Western Tombstone, okay, well, that's where it was, in that valley. All right, and so I was there, and we had a 2-week course, I'm sorry, 3-week course, and we were there the last evening, and we had a fellow come in, a lieutenant colonel, and his name was Anthony Schaefer. All right, everybody can go look that up, Anthony Schaefer. Okay, so lieutenant colonel. So he walked in, and he said, "Okay, everybody, shut up, sit down. I've got something very important to tell you because your lives may be dependent on it." And of course, when you're in the intelligence business, you always have everybody coming to you and saying, "Hey, how important this is or how important that is." And it usually turns out to be rumor control, rumor central. But in this case, it was. And so he said, "Everybody sit down. I want you to understand something. As of this date," and this was July of 2000, and he said, "Everybody in this room, you're going to be in war. You're going to be in war within 18 months. And that's 1-8. And of course, it caught our attention then, and he said, "Understand this, is that here where we are in Arizona, there are 32 intelligence agencies training here, and we have gotten word from most of them that there is going to be an attack on the United States in New York City." Okay, that's the first place they're going to attack, is New York City, and it's going to be at the World Trade Center, the WTC. And so, okay, great, all right. Now, is this going to be, we were all wondering if it was going to be a continuation of the previous attack where they had blown up a car in the basement of one of the World Trade Centers, and it didn't do much damage. It killed a few people, but it didn't do much damage at that time. And so, but he said, "Okay, understand this, is there's going to be terrorists at this time, and they're going to be flying airplanes, okay, intentionally. They're going to be taking over and hijacking airplanes, jet planes, and they're going to be flying those jet airplanes on a one-way mission to the World Trade Center, where one of the planes is going to crash for sure into the World Trade Center, and then the other planes we don't know about. We know there's going to be approximately 5 airplanes hijacked, but we don't know where those are going. We know the other one, the other 5, is going to, the first one's going to the World Trade Center, and then the second one is going to be," and I'll always remember this specific operative word, he said, the second one is going to be striking a target, select targets, somewhere in the Washington, D.C. area. And so, of course, at this point, all we could do is say, "Okay, all right, we'll wait till we're called," okay? And now, part of my class, part of my group that I was with, there were people from the FBI, there were people from Department of Justice, you know, from all walks of life that were in my intelligence group. Okay, and so everybody, as you might imagine, had some inquiries, some words, and a few hands went up, and one of them said, "Well, look, does the FBI know? Because we're intelligence agents. Intelligence agents are not allowed to operate on U.S. soil. That's all there is to that. Okay, that's the law. They do have, back then they did have laws protecting American citizens from any kind of violations of which happens all the time in third world countries where they have intelligence agents spying on their own people. Well, back then they actually had laws protecting American citizens from American intelligence agencies. And so, would you agree with that, Pastor?
Oh, I would agree with that. And I want to, and I know we're jumping around here, but we got to move ahead. I want to get more into the book. And yes, you were told from July to September of the following year in advance what was going to happen, right down to the Pacific. So it means, obviously, the U.S. knew about it. They maybe even had planned it. They were having planned it, no doubt about it. But when you were shipped to Iraq, and we know we had a lot of bravado, you know, where we're going to go over there and turn that place into a parking lot, and we're going to set the people free from the dictator, and we're going to do all these great things for those people. When you were flown over there, what was your first impression with the people you met that were going to be there working with you?
Okay. Now, if we can back up for a second,
sure,
I can say this.
Is
that the lieutenant colonel said, you know, after there was questions, several people were asking, hey, look, does the CIA know about this? Yes, of course the CIA knows about this. Does the FBI know about this? Absolutely. The FBI knows all about this. So, and I say that and I emphasize that is because everybody remembers about all the, what do they call it? CYA? Cover your rear end.
Yeah, cover your butt. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And of course the FBI then, when it happened, oh, we knew nothing about it. You can't hold us responsible. We knew nothing about it. And the CIA was the same way. All right. Everybody was running for cover. Yeah, and it turns out that virtually they all knew about it and they all did nothing. They did nothing. And the reason I emphasize that is 3,000 people. I was called on my way in to work. I was on the highway into work. My phone rang and the message was, get into work quick. You need to open up the unit. I had to open up my intelligence unit and shut off all the alarm systems and so forth because a massive attack had happened. Okay, on, what was it, 9-11, September, okay, 11th of September. And so my life changed forever. It's still changed. But then I got in, turned it on, just as the second plane was smashing into the South Tower. So, and that was on a big screen, a big, huge CNN screen. Okay, so I saw the whole thing happen, and then, of course, immediately everything started to happen at my unit, and they said, "Hey, okay, understand this, you're going to Iraq." And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm fixing to retire after 30 years. I'm going to retire." And they said, "We don't care. You know, if you have 2 weeks, you're going to Iraq." And so, anyway. That happened, and yes, and I did go directly to Iraq from the unit, okay, from California. And so, anyway, but I wanted to slip something in. Now, back, I know we're jumping around, but when I was in Arizona, the lieutenant colonel said, okay, understand this, folks. Now, step out of the Quonset hut. Step out of the room here, right outside the door, which we did. It was dark. It had just gotten dark, just like it has now. And we looked across the valley, and he said, "Okay, you see that field there? Clear across the valley, there was an airport over there, over on the other side, with mercury vapor lights, and you could see jets moving around." You know, big passenger jets. And he said, "See those jets?" And of course we could. All right. And he said, "Understand this, folks." He said, "First of all, those are Arab pilots training right now." What does that mean? Okay. What does it mean to anybody? Well, first of all, he said that it was Boeing. The Boeing company had actually contracted to train those hijackers. All right. Now, I didn't stutter. I know I have a speech problem, and I'll be the first to admit it. But the Boeing company, aircraft company, had hired those people, those Arabs, to be the hijackers and crash those planes into and select targets, all right, as in the World Trade Center. And so everybody was pretty flabbergasted, and he said, understand this, is that Boeing had to hire very special translators to train those pilots at Morona Pinal Air Park. That was the name of it, Morona Pinal Air Park. And, of course, this is all in the book. So everybody thought, okay, all right, we're just going to go home, live our lives until we're called. And I didn't hear anything about it until that day when I drove into work and I was called that the first plane had smashed into the North Tower. All right. And it hadn't come down when I got into my office and turned on the large screen TV. But you know, in a few minutes, it would. The North Tower came down and then the South Tower came down. And I am still fielding questions. Okay, from people about that issue, about the World Trade Center and the attack on 9/11 and who was responsible. And I have, as a result, I've made fantastic friends, but I've made some wonderful, wonderfully educated people that have said, okay, here's what we have found. Here's the physical evidence that we have found on the attack on the World Trade Center. And yes, it was blown up. No question about it. Yes, it was brought down, and here's why it happened. And here's the physical and forensic evidence that brought down the World Trade Center. That is what has been happening since it happened on that day. And then, of course, I was in the process of being sent to Iraq. Now, everybody has heard about what happened in Iraq, and probably everybody has had to, you know, face some personal issues about what the American people were doing, American soldiers were doing, American military were doing to the Iraqis at that time. And you can forget all the stuff about how the Iraqis took part in the attack on 9/11 and so forth. They did not. They did not whatsoever. Because, and the biggest reason for that is when I got to Iraq, we had the emphasis on finding weapons of mass destruction. Now, and I assume that the pastor has brought you up to speed for the most part on this. Weapons of mass destruction. Okay. And of course, what can we say? Yes, that was a question mark. We were worried about terrorism and terrorists, quote, blowing up a nuclear detonators.
Okay. We're going to break. Please hang on through that break, Greg. And at the break, folks, we're going to get his impression of who he worked with and what he saw while he was there. This is important. I'm doing this so you won't be naive any longer about who we think America is and what we're doing in these foreign countries, folks. No, we're not there to bring peace to the people. We're there to conquer nations. Back at the break.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. go to NeMana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, NeMana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All right, folks, we are back. And what Greg's talking about tonight, Greg's book is called Midnight in Samara. We'll tell you how to order it in a little bit. Folks, it's worth the money. It's worth the read. If you want to educate yourself what's going on, read Gregory Ford's book. And I'm talking to Greg about this, bring back memories to me that I don't think about a whole lot. And I want to tell you that when I was going through some things now that I look back on with regret, I did know some good people. I was blessed to work with some good men who were just as naive as I was, and thought they were doing the right thing. So they were not doing things intentionally evil. But many people did. And thank God I didn't get to spend a lot of time around them. But unfortunately, Greg Ford spent a lot of time around people who liked what they did in the way of torture, in the way of lying, conniving, stealing, and to get promotions for themselves to get to the top. They didn't care who they had to kill or hurt to get there. And Greg, the book, you don't have time, and people need to order the book. But when you got there, you saw some of the people that you work with. One lady in particular there in a barracks full of men. We won't get into what she's doing there around the men. But you also mentioned the equipment you had that was all junk. It's falling apart. You know, we're supposed to have to give the boys the best we had. You had Humvees that would barely run. You saw so many things that people just didn't think could happen to American soldiers. Would you mind sharing some of that?
It'd be my pleasure. And so, you know, and of course, you always, as a doctor, you always, the first thing you think about is do no harm. All right. And of course, that's after 30 years, you know, of being in medicine and being both in medicine and intelligence, you know, I had realized that, first of all, you get a lot more cooperation, a lot more efficiency out of somebody that you're not hurting. All right.
Sure.
You think that would make sense? Correct. And I encourage everybody, okay, that is listening, you know, to say, the first thing you should say is, I don't believe this guy. I don't believe that Americans would do what he's saying they did. Oh, really? Well, I would recommend everybody to go, now that we have high-speed database communications, to go type in Abu Ghraib and look to see, and when you look at it, look to see what I was dealing with and see if I'm mistaking, you know, my judgment of what was happening there. You know, I can't believe it because I was set to retire and this was unfolding right before my eyes is the most horrendous torture that Americans were doing. Americans. And like I say, don't believe me, go look with your own eyes. All right. And then if you have a decent imagination, you can imagine the screaming and the cries of pain. Okay, that was going on with 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, you know, anybody that they could get their hands on to torture, okay? And I'm sorry, it kind of choked me up for a second.
That's all right. That's all right.
But anyway, the thing is my command, of course, you know, the command is supposed what's right and what's wrong. And they say, hey, it's the pressure of the battlefield and so forth. No, when you look at somebody, when they're tied up and bound up, and this just happened recently with Donald Trump, who had somebody on his campaign staff that had tied up a 15-year-old, and funny thing, he thought it was funny, and this Navy SEAL actually walked up to this bound up 15-year-old teenager and looked at him, pulled a knife out and ran it through his throat and cut his throat right there. He was tied up, bound, he was helpless, and this guy thought it was funny, okay? And so Donald Trump was so impressed with that, he actually had this fellow's name was Chief Gallagher, had him on his staff, on his campaign staff, Chief Gallagher. Remember that name. So, but anyway, what we did, what we had happening was we started getting pressure that the Iraqis were beginning to fight back. Hey, tell me, what people on the face of the earth that has their children tortured, maimed, killed, okay, that welcomes it? No people on earth do that. Well, that's why the Iraqis were responding. They could hear the cries of their children from my facility, and they were actually, the people were actually suffering, and of course their children were too, and so that's why they responded to us the way they did, and that's why they attacked us. Okay, in the city of Samarra, okay, and you can read this in the book, in the city of Samarra, because they could hear their kids screaming in agony. And so what happened was I said, all right, have we lost our minds? Are we crazy? Is that what has happened here? You know, we come into these people's country and we start making all these demands, and then we say, okay, look, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to torture you and kill you. And so, surprise, next thing you know, well, I had a colonel from the Iraqi Air Force, actually, and he was a commander, and he said, and he came to me at Balad, the air base at Balad, and he said, look, you know, I can't believe that Americans are doing to this. Here, you're Americans, okay? We worked for you. Saddam Hussein worked for you, the Americans. We know he worked for the CIA. So why are you doing this to us? And I didn't have anything to say. What could a doctor say about the abuse and torture that is being inflicted on his people? And so he said, look, here, if I take you to some weapons of mass destruction, will you please get your weapons of mass destruction out of our country, and would you leave? And I said, of course we would. I couldn't imagine that we would not leave if we found weapons of mass destruction that could be used against the American people, and we didn't leave. We got them, and then we left. And so the next day, he came to me, and this is all in the book. He came to me, and he said, all right, we can walk over there. I said, you mean walk, like, you know, right from here? He said, yes, it's less than 100 yards from where you are. We can find weapons of mass destruction. So I walked over with him, and it was a bunker. It was a huge bunker and underground, and I thought, okay, Greg, Dr. Ford, you've done some stupid things. Well, this is one of the most stupid. Going into an underground bunker where there's supposed to be weapons of mass destruction with somebody I don't know, and I couldn't think of an easier way to end up getting my head cut off on the internet as a hostage. And so I went over there and I had my gun trained on him, and of course, to this bunker, and he said, it's right down here. It's right down in this bunker. It's about four or five stories down. We walked down the stairwell, down to where there was no light, and I turned my red light on, so everything was had a red underground light. And I did that for two reasons. I was worried about the red light detecting a fine booby trap wires. I was expecting booby traps, and I wasn't quite sure what other things would be down there. So I turned the red light on. He walked up, came up to a door, a big armored door, opened it, and he said, "Okay, there you go. There's your weapons of mass destruction." And I kept my gun on him, and we walked in, and he said, "Here it is. What more do you want?" And there were 29 wooden crated weapons. And these weapons, I'll be very specific about this, okay? So, because I know everybody, there's an automatic response to deny, okay? There's a need to deny that our government would be responsible for doing something like this. But I walked in, and there were 29 crates, and each crate was about 15 to 20 feet long. And they had a long tube inside, and so I thought, okay, great. Yeah, I couldn't see much. It was about 130 degrees inside, very hot, and so what I did was I walked back to the back side of the crate, and I thought, okay, if I'm going to find something that says what is this, because I had no idea what I was looking at that point. And the colonel came back with me, and he said, "Here, this is all the paperwork you need to explain what you have given the people of Iraq, okay, to be used on American soldiers." And I, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Here, it's right here. These are 1,000-pound, and I'll recite this exactly to it, 1,000-pound converted bomb casings. 1,000-pound converted bomb casings. These weapons are reconfigured in Fort Rucker, Alabama." And what that meant was, is that the Americans had tried to use nerve gas, which is against all Geneva conventions, but they had tried to use nerve gas, and not just any nerve gas, but a nerve gas called VX. And in fact, this was very special nerve gas. It was called VX/GF. And I can say this for a fact that I just got through two nights ago watching something on Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah, and where 7,000 sheep were killed by nerve gas. And as your listeners can tell, guess what kind of nerve gas, folks, it was. It was VX nerve gas. That was the same nerve gas that killed those sheep, okay? 7,000 sheep. And, of course, our government said, "No way, never happened. We never did it. You know, we wouldn't do it. It's such a terrible thing." Right, uh-huh. And then, secondly, the village of Halabja in northern Iraq, it was a group of people called the Kurds, the K-U-R-D-S, the Kurds, in Kurdistan. And these are the same people that had actually been helping us. They had been, you know, doing everything they could, you know, counseling, providing instruction, providing directions, everything they could for our military, okay? And these are the same people that Donald Trump recently, I'm sure you saw him on TV, he said this, that, "Hey, we don't care about the Kurds anymore. We know that they helped us, but what we want is their oil." So they can go get killed. They can go die. We can go let the Turks kill them. Okay, and we can keep the oil. That's what Donald Trump said. What, 2.5 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the VX gas that I was looking at, okay, was used in the Halabja campaign, and at least they think, they're not sure, but at least 150,000 to 200,000 people, you know, from this village were killed. Were killed. Mothers in mid-step, carrying their babies in their arms, were killed by this gas, this VX gas that I was looking at. Exactly the same nerve gas, and the packet that the colonel handed me, I looked at it, and it was the bills of lading and shipment. And the shipment said, okay, it was reconfigured in Fort Rucker, Alabama, and then it was shipped on the USS Wabash, a Marine supply ship, and it was shipped over to Spain, and from Spain it was airlifted into Iraq, and there it was, and then Dick Cheney. Okay, who we all know and love, that Dick Cheney, the very same person who actually sold the explosives that were used to bring down and detonate on the World Trade Center, okay, Trade Core explosives, the World Trade Center, and that's what blew up those buildings, and of course, with the planes crashing, that covered the explosion, the several explosions that were used, and so. So I know I'm jumping around, but sorry, folks. Okay, and so getting back to the underground bunker. So I thanked the colonel, the commander of the fighter bomber wing, Iraqi bomber wing, and I took the documents that I had. And I said, okay, we have to leave. We need to get this to the Pentagon fast. We need to get out of here fast. And so I took it to my commander, the very same commander who had me, renditioned, tortured. Okay, when I refused to torture Iraqis, he had me tortured, and then he did something very interesting. Okay, now we've actually gone ahead a little bit, and this is something concerning the COVID. Okay, everybody's suffering with the COVID right now. I need to get this out there. Okay, to explain this, what happened then was, I took the special documents, and they were listing a company called the Carlyle Limited Group. And I don't know if Pastor Butch has briefed you folks on this, but the Carlyle Group is a group that was actually founded by, George H.W. Bush.
Yep, George Bush Sr. Yes.
Right, exactly. And if you folks don't understand this, is that Saddam Hussein was working for George H.W. Bush, and he had been working since 1958. He had been working for the CIA, for America, since 1958. And the other shocking thing is, here we are talking about attacking Iran and blowing up Iran because they're doing all these bad things. And we just, what, day before yesterday, we actually killed one of their nuclear scientists, okay? Or somebody did, like Israel, for one. But people forget that the Iranians had a horrifically terrifying intelligence group that the CIA organized and trained called the SAVAK. And the SAVAK was completely keeping that country in a grip, while the Shah of Iran, the hated, incredibly brutal Shah of Iran, ran the country. And so what happened was, and I bring this up for a couple of reasons. First of all, those weapons that I just described were dropped on the Kurds, the Kurdish campaign. They were dropped on the Kurds, killed 200,000 Kurds, and then, of course, we just betrayed the Kurds and left them and stole their oil, what, 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago? And then on top of everything else, Dick Cheney flies over for the second batch of weapons of mass destruction, and there's pictures both of Don Rumsfeld receiving the first batch and shaking the hand of Saddam Hussein on receipt of those weapons, And then there is a picture of Dick Cheney shaking the hand of Saddam Hussein receiving those weapons, the second batch of weapons, second shipment of weapons to be dropped on the Iranians, okay, the Persians. Those weapons were dropped, and they figure at least a million Iranians died because of our weapons of mass destruction that were given to Saddam Hussein so he could drop those weapons on the Iranians during the 10-year war between Iran and Iraq.
All right, Greg, we're down about 7 minutes already, so yeah, I don't mean to rush you. First off, tell them how they can get your book.
Okay, well, hopefully you have a Barnes & Noble bookstore there, or you can go to Amazon. Just type in Amazon and type in the name Midnight in Samara, and you'll come to my book. I know it's listed, and so it's an easy sell, so that'd be the best way I can think of back in your neck of the woods to pick up a copy of my book.
And folks, Midnight Samara, S-A-M-A-R-R-A. And I don't very often strongly urge people to get these books, but I would strongly urge you to get this book if you want to see the truth, and if you're not afraid to have your innocence shattered of thinking the U.S. are the good guys. You need this book. Go to Amazon.com and look at Midnight in Samara. I don't like using Amazon either, but that's where you're going to find it. In our area, there are no Barnes & Noble bookstores in my area. And Midnight in Samara, check it out, please. Now, they obviously didn't leave. They denied that you had found the weapons. They denied all about that. They also denied that you found millions of dollars in a banker's home that was working with Hussein. They denied that. They just confiscated it, took it back for themselves, obviously. But we just move ahead very quickly. We got about 6 minutes left. You were renditioned out of Iraq, drugged, and brought home. And you've been fighting this ever since. And you got home. What year was that? You got home? 2003?
Right, exactly. So,
and then for the last 17 years, you've been trying to get the truth out to people and get it before the courts and bring charges, have you not?
That's correct. And when you get my book, I was very careful to put my Supreme Court case number in the book. So you can look it up. Everybody, you know, can look it up at will, at leisure, and get a whole transcript of what happened and what I gave the Supreme Court concerning the atrocities, the greatest war crimes the United States has ever been responsible for, ever. And I meticulously accounted for each case and what happened to me. And, of course, everybody will either say, what a bunch of nonsense. We've heard it all now. But the thing is when I went to the commander, Lieutenant Colonel Ryan, and I said, look, we can't be doing this. We've got our weapons of mass destruction. Let's leave. Let's get out of here. And, of course, he said, oh, there's no problem. This commander said, there's no problem whatsoever. You're the problem. We don't care, you know, what you feel about all these people and not wanting to torture anybody. We don't care. In fact, the problem is it's going to be cured right now, and you're going to be strapped to a stretcher, and you're going to be flown out of here, and he didn't say you're going to be tortured. No, that came later. There's something called MK Ultra, and I'm sure the pastor is familiar with the program.
I've met Kathy O'Brien personally. I'm sure you know who she is.
Yes, I do. And I was tortured en route. And the problem is I've been suffering with all kinds of injuries ever since that happened. You know, I've had to have heart surgery because of that MK Ultra issue. I lapsed into a coma, and like I said, this time last year, I was in a coma, and when I came out of it, I had to learn how to speak again. So what you're hearing is rebuilt, reconstructed speech. I didn't ever think that would be a problem until I came out of that coma, and then half my body is still suffering from like a paresthesia. They call it paresthesia, and so where I can only use half my body. now as a result. So, yes, I paid a price. And the thing was, is that the general that I worked for, Lieutenant, Sergeant Major, I'm getting this wrong. Okay, Brigadier General Janice Karpinski contacted me. She actually made the supporting statement in the Supreme Court, to the Supreme Court for me. And she said, hey, I understand you've been damaged and hurt, so I am going to give you the Congressional Medal of Honor. I will support you on the Congressional Medal of Honor because of all this that has happened. And surprise, now, because it was embarrassing to a lot of people that were in Iraq, surprised, I haven't heard one word about my Congressional Medal of Honor.
Hey, this squeezes you in one quick phone call. Folks, I wasn't going to take a phone call, but we'll take this. Jan and Iowa, Jan, you got about 30 seconds. Come on in, sweetheart.
I only got 30 seconds. I want to know what he's doing with the money from the book. Is this money going to the families of 9/11, the families of the men and women on board the plane?
Okay.
The one that went down in Pennsylvania, the one that stopped any further attacks in Washington. And we already know that the CIA has been messed up.
All right, I hate to cut you off.
A long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Go ahead and ask your question very quickly, Greg, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear it because there was a bit of a break in the.
She wondered if some of the profits, the book that you're selling, are going to help the families that were lost during 9/11, and along those lines.
As a matter of fact, yes, I am donating a portion of my profits from the book. But I need to say, and this is kind of a cop out, okay, is that to date I haven't gotten any profits.
Oh wow.
Okay.
Nothing yet. Wow.
Right.
We're down 30 seconds.
It was just published, by the way. It was published, so yes, I will donate a very large portion. You know, after I pay my technical people and my publishers and all that kind of stuff, I will donate, and I'm going to donate a large portion to the burn pit victims.
Okay, Gregory, right out of time. Thank you, Gregory. We'll talk again in the future, I promise, Gregory. Keep in touch, okay?
Okay.
Folks, we love you. By the grace of God, I'll see you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, just you and I, a lot to talk about. Have a wonderful night. And the book is on Amazon.com, Midnight in Samara. Believe me, it's worth a few dollars. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.